This is Moe and McGee on Fantasy.
Welcome in, folks. We got the primer episode ready to go, ready to get you ready for week five of the NFL season. Kevin, pretty successful week for your flex plays. Can you repeat performance?
Oh, absolutely. So I had Noah Fant, 7.2 points. I wasn't asking you to play him in the flex, but if you're looking to play him at tight end, 7 is about the number that you're going for as a felon.
One George catch, Pickens. Kevin. Noah Fant, one catch.
If it's in the end zone, that's all you need. George Pickens, more than one catch, 16.2 points, which was the high on the week for our flexible flex plays.
Very nice, Kevin.
So, this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it rolling this week with Olamide Zaccheaus. Had to get the pronunciation rolling.
So yeah, it's pretty good.
Say it correctly. Yeah, I think 10 out of 10, they should record that for Google. Have that. Whenever anybody's curious, they'll just have my voice. So Olamide Zaccheaus playing for the Falcons. Kyle Pitts didn't practice today. Questionable going into the week. I think there's going to be some opportunity for the Atlanta Falcons as they face up against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Cordarrelle Patterson going to be out the next 4 weeks. I think you can fill in Olamide in a game that could be sneaky high scoring. I believe this one's at 48.5. It is at 48.5. So Vegas thinks that it's going to be more than average points. They can't all go to Drake London. There's going to be a little feed over to Olamide Zaccheaus. On the year, he has, let's take a look, 6 points, 10 points, 6.7 points. If you're looking for a flexible flex play, somebody to not kill you in your flex, I think he's going to get another 10 points here, and that's what you're going for.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, 10 points, if you're really scrapping and scraping, definitely can do worse than 10 points there. Who's your other one, Kevin?
Other guy I have here is a little bit of a conditional. So follow this week to see if Michael Thomas is playing. If Michael Thomas is not playing, I do really like Marquez Callaway. Played 97% of the snaps last week with Michael Thomas out. That's why it's very conditional with Michael Thomas being in or out. The Saints only ran 57 plays last week, 28 passes. If they run 67 plays, that turns into 34 passes probably. And, you know, they can't all go to Olave. It's got to get spread around. They're playing a really shitty passing defense in Seattle. Yes, they're seventh ranked in fantasy against passing. But if you look at yards per attempt, they're giving up way more than anybody else at 8.7 yards per attempt. It's just teams haven't had to throw against Seattle. But if you're looking at Andy Dalton and the Saints, you know, the Saints might be forced to throw a little bit here. I like Marquez Callaway if Michael Thomas is out.
Yeah, I like those picks, Kevin. You know, what we're going for with flex plays, these are guys that are probably easily pickable in your league. They're, you know, they're out there on the waiver wire.
Going to be available.
Yeah. My guy, Devontae Parker, he's probably a little less available than the other two, but still should be available in around 60 to 70% of leagues. Kevin, guess how many, what percentage of the snaps he played this last week against the Packers?
Hasn't he played about 97% of snaps every single week so far?
Yeah, he's playing. He's playing. He ran the most routes. He's playing the most. This last week, it only ended up being 2 targets. Cashed those in for 24 yards. I think this week, though, he's going to have a little more success. And, you know, whether it be Brian Hoyer, Bailey Zappi, you know, I'm just kind of, I think, if he's out there a lot, they're playing Detroit, who have just gotten absolutely shit kicked in the passing game. So I'm in on Devontae Parker against Detroit, running and being out there for 90% of the plays.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a big bet on the game script. So Detroit, I talked about Seattle being really bad against the pass. Detroit's been really bad against the pass, but even worse against the run. New England does want to run the ball. But the thing about Detroit is they know that they're bad against the run, and they know that the Patriots want to run the ball. I think there's going to be some loaded boxes, and if you're looking at a guy that can bust open a deep one, Nelson Agholor and Devontae Parker are both on the table, especially if Jacoby Myers is out. So will Detroit pack the box? I think that's the bet here, and I can definitely see your side where it will be probably loaded.
Yeah, my other guy probably got picked up a lot. That's Mike Boone. He's still available, according to ESPN, 80% of leagues. I think he's a start this week. I think he's an RB2 start this week. You know, they brought in Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray is eventually probably going to factor in a little bit, but he just got off the plane on Monday night in Denver. He's not going to be able to pick up the offense, and he's definitely not going to pick up the passing concepts. I think that goes to Mike Boone. I think he can get you some good points in your flex spot. And heck, Kevin, I might even put him in my RB2 spot.
Oh, look out.
There you go. Let's get to question time, Kevin. We got some good questions this week. I'm going to start off. What to think about Ja'Marr Chase? He had a huge week one, and everyone was like, you know, justified that late round one pick. However, after that 28-point week one, it's been 10, 12, 12. Where are you at with Ja'Marr Chase?
I think there's some better days ahead for Ja'Marr Chase. So looking at the targets, yes, 16 in that first week. But then T. Higgins comes back, 9, 10, 6. Those are still very solid target numbers. He's a deep ball guy, really an all-over-the-field guy, but he does make some of his bank on the deep throws. Hasn't seen any of those since week one. They're going to come, especially against a porous Baltimore defense, a overrated Atlanta defense coming up. And then Cleveland and Carolina, I think he's going to eat. I think we've seen defenses roll coverage his way and let T. Higgins pick up, you know, some of the slack. But Ja'Marr Chase is still out targeting T. Higgins 41-28 on the season. Better days are ahead for Ja'Marr Chase, and he could be a very sneaky buy low.
If you had to redraft today, knowing what we know now, still first round pick Ja'Marr Chase?
I don't like taking wide receivers in the first round. That burned me so far this year. I think I would take him at the very end of the first.
Okay, so probably like around where you got
him in the wrap round in the second, but yes, I would still take Ja'Marr Chase in the first round at the end.
Okay, yeah. I think I'm a little bit more down on him just because seems, you know, after week one, it's like, holy shit, this is another Justin Jefferson, you know, guy where they're just going to feed him the rock. We've also seen this now with Jefferson that, you know, the league is getting smart to these guys. They're not going to just let them get torch you week in, week out. And especially teams like the Vikings and like Cincinnati who have capable wide receiver two, threes. It's just as easy for Joe Burrow to throw to a wide open T. Higgins than it is to throw to a double coverage Ja'Marr Chase. Do I still think he's a top 10 receiver? Yes. I'm just slightly more down on him than I was after week one, for sure.
Now, I have a question for you. Fantasy, as we know, one of the best strategies is just go get key players on the best offenses. Make it sound really simple, but, you know, a lot of times you look at bad offenses and say, well, he's the best player on this offense. A lot of times you can get the third best player on one of the best offenses and still outscore that best player on a bad offense. What offense do you most want to have a piece of after the first 4 weeks of the year?
I think this is kind of hard because I think my number one answer is Buffalo. Except Gabe Davis has been pretty dang disappointing the last 2 weeks. I know he's banged up, but the reason I say that is because Isaiah McKenzie has given you life, even though he's not catching many passes, he's catching touchdowns. Devin Singletary is not scoring touchdowns, but he's getting yards between the 20s. Dawson Knox, while he's been disappointing to where you drafted him, still a usable, you know, tight end in fantasy, catching 3 to 4 passes, getting 20-ish yards, hoping for a touchdown, obviously. But I just, you know, with a team that's passing 50 times a game, so many usable pass catchers. You just, you know, you might not have the right one, but I do like Buffalo. The other one that's we just talked about, Cincinnati. Everyone in Cincinnati seems to be usable. Boyd, Mixon, Chase, Hayden Hurst, T. Higgins. I'd love to have any one of those guys. You know, obviously the pecking order is what everyone thinks it is, but Tyler Boyd has proven that he can get it done if they're going to double Jamar Chase. And, you know, as far as the last one, probably Philly. Philly has just been super on fire. All their guys have been doing really well. Goddard, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. We've seen both backs, Sanders and Gainwell, be successful. And obviously, Hurts is a superstar. So anywhere different that you wanted to go, Kevin?
No, my picks were going to be Cincinnati and Philadelphia. The one thing I want to call out for Philadelphia is they really kept the target tree really tight, which is the secret sauce is to find a good offense with a tight target tree. A.J. Brown, 38 targets. Devonta Smith, 27 targets. Dallas Goedert, 20. No other pass catcher with more than 7. So that's a very tight target tree. That's why I like Philly. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow hasn't been playing exceptionally well. 91.8 quarterback rating, but they've completed 101 passes. I think Bengals are in the perfect opportunity to be a buy low. Joey Burrow is not going to be as average as he's been so far. He's going to be good. And T. Higgins and Jamar Chase will reap the benefit. The sneaky team, you know, if you want me to throw somebody else out there, is actually probably the Jets. The defense has been bad. The offense has been pretty good. Completed 111 passes so far this season. Now they get Zach Wilson back. The thing that worries me is the target tree is kind of much more spread out, using two white running backs in the passing game, Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, and Corey Davis all being involved. But if one or two of those guys goes down and that target tree tightens up a little bit, the Jets could have some league winners on their team.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, you think about the best offenses and you do want to throw like Tampa Bay and Kansas City in there. But it seems like, especially in Kansas City, that it's not just CH. I mean, Jerick McKinnon and Isaiah Pacheco are getting out there. They're playing snaps. There's not really a wide receiver that you feel super comfortable with starting because they're all playing and getting 3 to 4 catches. You're going to be starting Mahomes. You're going to be starting Kelce, obviously. So far, CEH has been a start. Just worries me how, you know, they're a devastating offense, but outside of Kelce, no one by themselves is devastating. So there you go. Yeah. I got another question for you, Kevin, and this, I don't know what made me think of this. Maybe it's because I've gotten burned on the bad halves of these so far. In 3 years, what do you think is the percentage of NFL teams that will use like a 60-40 split with their RBs, like we're seeing with the New York Jets, like we're seeing in Green Bay, like we're seeing a lot of places? Do you think that's going to get even heavier in 3 years to where the fantasy RB landscape is going to be so tough?
Yeah, I guess my question is, what percent now have that?
Yes, that's, you know, I was, that's a good question. Let me, you know,
without knowing that answer, I'm going to say, and I think this is a counter consensus pick. I think most people would say that they're expecting a heavier percentage to have a 60-40 split. I'm going to go the other way. I think there's going to be fewer running backs by committee in the first year, or in 3 years. And the reason for that is NFL teams are getting smarter about drafting in the real NFL draft. You're not seeing running backs go in the high first round anymore. You're not seeing running backs even often going in the first round. So you're going to be able to pick the top running backs in the second or third round. I think you're going to be able to get those still elite athletes later in the draft. And I would look for teams to, you know, rely a little bit more heavily on one guy and know that they can pivot pretty quickly to a guy on the waiver wire or a guy that they just had to spend a seventh round pick on if their stud goes down. And it'll still be a pretty talented guy because you're having to spend less draft capital on them, having to pay them less with the rookie caps. So I think that's probably counter consensus. I think most people expect heavier committees in the future, but with the way the real draft is trending, I actually expect it to get a little bit better for fantasy.
Yeah. So I just count, I think it's around 8 or 9 teams. So a little less than, you know, around 30% of teams right now. So
I would guess that goes down to about 15 to 20%.
So 5 or 6 teams using that. Okay.
Yep.
I'm probably a little bit more. I think it will. I don't think it's going to go down. I don't think it's going to go down. I think it. I'm a little counter to you, where I think teams are getting smart and saying, you know, let's have a running back who's really good at this and also a running back who's really good at that. So, like, you know,
more
specific. I don't know if there's a great example of that right now, but like in Washington, you know, you have Antonio Gibson, who is kind of their runner. He's the runner. He's going to be the between the tackles guy. Anytime we are even going to think about passing, J.D. McKissick is going to come in. Maybe a few more teams trend to that where, hey, this guy's super good at receiving. He's just going to be our receiving guy. Anytime we want to pass, I know that does tip your hand a little bit, but I'm probably not saying like it's going to be 50% of teams, but I think it'll stay around the same, maybe a little bit more.
Okay, you're wrong, but that's fine. My question to you, final question, wrap-up question time. So 3 guys that are currently top 5 tight ends, TJ Hockenson, Zach Ertz, Tyler Higbee, which of those 3 guys do you think has the best chance to stay a top 5 tight end? I think I know where you're going, but I'm hoping that you go someplace else.
I'm going to go Tyler Higbee. So wow. I think the consistency with his targets is just so high. He's clearly the number 2 option there. A lot of people thought it'd be Allen Robinson. But, you know, as far as, you know, tight target trees, it seems to just be Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee who are getting majority targets for LA. He's been super reliable, hasn't got the touchdowns quite yet. But TJ Hockenson is one big week. Zach Ertz has been pretty consistent as well. I think, you know, if I had to rank who finishes in the top 5 tight ends, I'd probably go Higbee first, then Ertz, and then Hockenson, because I think the inconsistency of Hockenson is just too scary for me right now.
So if I said that the Rams totally want to light the Allen Robinson contract on fire and bring absolute chaos in, and they sign Odell Beckham, does that change your answer if Odell is signed today and is active next week?
No, because I think Higbee's role is pretty set. You know, 11 targets week one, 9 targets week two, 14 targets week four. Kind of had a weird down week with targets anyway in week four, but still scored you 10 points. TJ Hockenson has 64 points in the season. 40 of those are from this last week. So that means, you know, he's scored a total of 20 points the other 3 weeks. I'm going to take the guy who's consistently scoring 15 and just kind of banking those points, I think.
And Higbee is in fifth out of those three. I feel like I want to do a right, put it on the board, but I'm just not confident enough. And I don't think any of these guys stay in the top three. I think Freiermuth moves in there. I think Goddard has a couple big weeks that puts him in there. And I still think Kyle Pitts, as shitty as the season has gone, is going to churn out some really big weeks.
Well, I'm hoping George Kittle somehow finds his little way in there. But that's just hope, pure hope. Kevin, let's get to write that down, where we absolutely took a slaughtering this last week. I went with Dallas Washington over 41.5. That was a loser. And then I went Ravens +3 over Buffalo, which was our only good thing that happened of the week, and that was just a push.
Yeah, because I went Texans Chargers under 44.5. They scored like 54. Stupid. Not stupid them, stupid me. Washington +3.5 against Dallas. I thought, you know, they maybe lose, but still get it with the points. Not the case. Dallas is just good enough with Cooper Rush. Another loss there. But we're going to keep it rolling here. What's your first write that down this week?
Yeah, I got Bears +7 versus the Vikings.
What?
This is, yeah, I know. You'd be thinking, like, come on, Bears are bad, Vikings are 3-1.
No, Kevin, this is... I don't care about any of that. It's the you're a Vikings fan, like a diehard.
Kevin, this is where all my years of Vikings knowledge comes to a real-world head where I can use it to make money. Classic letdown spot for the Vikings. Just got back from London. They're 3-1, riding on an absolute high. If you watched any of the games, they haven't been overly impressive, especially defensively, where they're a sieve in the run game, and they're allowing, I think it's the wide receivers have the second most space after the catch, so they're letting wide receivers get wide open. I think I still like the Vikings to win this game, but I think it's going to be by a field goal. I think it's going to be a tight slogfest. Where the Vikings are just kind of in a letdown spot. Look for Kirk Cousins to maybe have 2-3 picks, probably a strip sack. I think this game's just going to be closer than the 7 points.
It's an NFC North game. They're always closer than you expect, except when it's like the Packers. They always seem
to. Where are you going for your first one? Be good.
Dolphins. Dolphins -3 against the Jets. I'm a little hesitant to put this on, write that down, because I think 3 points is far too little to spot the Dolphins, or to give to the Jets. Makes me think that Vegas knows something that I don't, but I think it is a little bit of a bet on, you know, Teddy Bridgewater being bad, and I don't think he's going to be bad. I think Mike McDaniel is going to put out a really good Teddy Bridgewater game plan that's maybe a little bit more focused on the run. Maybe we see some slants that get taken to the house. I like the Dolphins winning by more than 3 points here.
Yeah, I mean, I like that too. I wonder what the line would have been had Tua been healthy for this game. I think it's probably around 5-ish, 5.5. Does scare me. The Dolphins seem to be a lot better of a team than the Jets. So kind of it could be a rat line, Kevin, but I do like that pick. Next one I really like is my own, Falcons Bucks under 48. My reasoning behind this is I've gotten burned thinking, okay, the Bucks are going to put up a crap load of points. They could almost get there themselves. I've thought that. I think 2 out of the 3 weeks we've done this, I've had that logic for an over. So I'm going to fade myself, Kevin. I'm going to say, I think the Bucks are going to put up a lot of points, but the Falcons are not going to hold up their end of the bargain. So I'm going under 48. I think it'll be, you know, 30 to 15 or something like that. It's going to go under.
Yeah, and if you grease this on FanDuel, you can even get 48 and a half.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Even better.
Keep scooting under that under. Yeah, Brady's banged up. He's still going to play, but... Yeah. Bucks offense just isn't what we thought they were going to be, and with Brady banged up a little bit, you know, maybe they lean on the run a little bit more. With Cordero out, one of the Falcons' big playmakers out, maybe they lean a little bit more on a conservative game plan. I think this is one of the best spots to take an under if you're going to take one.
Oh, Kevin, us agreeing on that does not make me feel good about it anymore.
oh, man, I hate it, actually. I hate it. It's bad.
Thank you. All right, run to the bank.
Yeah. Another one you can run to the bank with, Bengals Ravens over 48 and a half. I talked in an earlier episode about how the Ravens have given up 3 17-point leads so far this year. Joe Burrow also hasn't been playing up to where I think he is. If the Ravens get out to a lead, I think they're just going to not do what they've done so far and try to make it a shorter game. They're going to keep the foot on the gas, keep scoring points. So that game script, I think, hits the over. And in a more competitive game or a game where the Bengals have a lead, the Ravens offense has proved to be very capable. And I think they're able to, you know, push it downfield, be more aggressive in the pass. And that also hits on the over. Tough time finding game script where this goes under 48 and a half, which most weeks is not supposed to be, you know, the biggest over of the week or the tallest line of the week at 48 and a half, but it happens to be so here.
Yeah.
And Raiders Chiefs, but nobody's going to.
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, since Joe Burrow has been there, these Bengals Ravens games have been kind of shootouts or good games at least. So I'm with you there. I think that's you know, a fair assessment. 48 and a half is a lot of points, but if you figure, you know, 35 to 28, that'll get you your over easy. So just got to go score some touchdowns.
That they will.
All right, folks, that is the weekend primer. We will see you next week. Hopefully everyone's using our knowledge to win money and to win their fantasy leagues.
Yeah, you can probably retire with these bets this week. I would just withdraw the savings and put them down.
Yeah, hell yeah. Put them in a parlay, put $1,000 on it, and you're rich.
Yep, that's it. Game over. We'll see you next week, folks.
See ya.